God. Well, we're going to talk this morning a little bit about probably what to expect in 2018, but what's more crucial is how to go into 2018 with a good foundation, with a really good, solid foundation so that you're not moved out of place because of some of the things that are happening in the nation, and not only in this nation, but in the nations of the world. And I believe, I'm believing God, I hope you are too, that there's going to be a shift in the Canada in 2018. There's going to be a shift in Prince Edward Island in 2018. I hope that you're believing God for that. Don't badmouth the government, but declare and decree that His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, will be manifested in a greater measure in 2018 than it was in 2017. We don't just kind of gloss over some of the things that are happening in our nation, some of the policies that are put forth in the nation, even some of the words and the mockery to some degree that comes forth from some of our leaders. And there is mockery that comes forth from some of our leaders, even against Christianity. And we're not going to dwell on that, but we will say that the Bible talks about the church being in a position on the earth, and they are required actually to not be involved in the evil that's going around the world and not involved in the things that are being said that are contrary to the Word of God and contrary to Christianity, but we are to expose it. And that's amazing. Sometimes we don't realize that that's one of the challenges that the Apostle Paul gave us. He said to expose those things that are done in darkness. And so as we enter into 2018, there's going to be, I believe, a shifting that's going to take place. And it may seem like it's a difficult time for us, but we need to be able to stand strong in the midst of it. And a good foundation is what we can lean on whenever we get into difficult times. So I just want to show you something this morning that I thought was very interesting. I forget where I seen it. San Francisco Millennium Tower is a luxury residential tower in San Francisco. And these condos, they range from $1 million to $10 million. And that's just for a small portion of that building. It was quite extravagantly built, and wealthy people lived there, obviously. But now they're in a situation because they didn't pay attention to the foundation. This tower has sunk 17 inches and tilted 14 inches since it was completed in 2008. Isn't that amazing? Something that hundreds of millions of dollars were spent on, and yet it's beginning to teeter. Engineers say that at the present rate, it's sinking 1 inch per year. Some critics blame the city of San Francisco for allowing the Millennium Partners to anchor the building in 80 feet of packed sand instead of digging down 200 feet to bedrock. That reminds me of a scripture. I'm sure it does you too. Can you imagine building something to that degree and put it on a foundation of sand? Now these residents are saying that their properties, you know, they're going down all the time. They're trying to get rid of them and trying to sell them, and they're losing a bundle of money at it. And I'm sure, you know, over the years, the engineers may find some way to stop it, but as yet, they haven't. And think, because the foundation wasn't looked after. And once in a while, we have to go back and look at the foundation by which we stand every once in a while to be able to see, is it secure? Am I on a secure foundation? Is my thought life secure? Am I doing the things that are consistent with a good foundation? Well, let's read in Matthew chapter 7. We'll read about what Jesus said about a poor foundation. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. Now, just for a minute, think of this. He said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine. Now, remember, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So he's talking about these words here. These words can be an awesome foundation. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So if we listen to his sayings, that will be likened to a wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Great was the fall because it was built on sand and not on the rock. Now the Bible speaks to us as the rock being the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, notice in this passage of scripture that the same wind, the same floods, the same rain came on both houses. One was washed away and one wasn't. A lot of times that we can look at what happens in people's lives and a person goes through a particular struggle, and sometimes it seems like some of them just get swiped away and they quit. But other people going through the exact same struggle or something similar, they seem to stand strong. They seem to push through it. Yeah, they have a difficult time. They have woes and so forth that happens to them. But they stand strong because they have something solid to stand on. They're not moved by their circumstance. They're not moved by what they feel. They're moved by the power of God and the Word of God and the life that's in the Word of God. They're willing to hang on to that in the midst of trial. They're willing to believe the word as opposed to how they feel and the circumstances that they're going through. In Psalms 11:3, it says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, we speak about that sometimes when we're concerning a nation. If the foundations are destroyed, what's the righteous going to do in the nation? Well, take it back a little bit and look at your own life, your position. And look at where your foundations are, because if the foundations are destroyed, where does that leave you? If your foundation, the foundations that we come together as believers and we are believing that Jesus Christ is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we declare that, we say it, but if we are weaning away from that a little bit in our daily life, then the foundation is starting to get shaky. You see, if we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, then we should be demonstrating that in our lives every day. As we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, then the things that we are involved in, the things that we're doing, should reflect that fact that we serve another God besides the God of this world. We serve another King, and his name is Jesus. We know that the King is not, and to the degree that he's not ruling over the nations today, as he will be, but the day is coming when the kingdoms of this world will be turned over to the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. We know that that is a foundational promise that we must hang on to, because if we'll keep that as our focus, then when we go out into the world and begin dealing with some difficult things, we'll know that one day this is all going to change. One day this is going to shift. One day the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to cause everything to bow its knee to him. At the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That includes sickness and disease. Glory to God forever. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ the Lord. Well, let's just go through a couple of scriptures just to give us a concept of what Jesus said it was going to be like at the end times and compare it a little bit to where we're at today. 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich. Say, I'm rich. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't feel rich. I don't feel like I'm rich. Listen, if you're living in the nation of Canada, you're rich compared to the next rest of the world. So this Bible, this scripture is talking about you. We are rich. We are rich in him. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. God desires to give us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good. Those who are rich, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for yourselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. One of the ways that we are to solidify our foundation is be willing to give. We are people who are called to give. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, let those who are rich, let them be willing to give, because in this area of giving, you are creating a solid foundation from which to carry on so that you can build on that. You can begin to build on the foundation that you have if it's a solid foundation. I was listening to, I believe it was Rick Joyner recently, and he talked about one day when he was doing all kinds of trading on the stock exchange. And he was doing quite well at it. And he wasn't really happy, but he said he was doing really well at it. And the Lord eventually spoke to him and said, "You're a meanie." Something like that. Those words. And because what Rick Joyner would do, of course, was, and which most people do, was try to buy that stock and then sell it when it hit its peak, right at the very peak where it began to go down. And so this is what he tried to do. He figured that was the best way to trade. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "You're not leaving any of the gleamings in the field." Do you remember in the Old Testament where the instruction was that those who were had a crop, that they were supposed to leave some gleamings for those who were going to come after, maybe the poor, to come up to be able to pick up those things that were left? And he said, when you trade, you should leave somebody something for somebody else. Somebody's going to buy that stock. You should be willing to leave something. Well, that's an interesting concept. And I'm sure that goes against most trading philosophy today. But he said when he began to do that, he began to get a better handle on what it meant to be a giver and to operate according to God's principles. And that's one of the things that I hope that we get a hold of going into 2018, that we will look at what God's principles are and we'll be determined to operate by them. We'll not waver from them. We'll do things God's way instead of the ways of this world. We'll have lots of pressure to come to us to do things according to the ways of this world, but we are to stand against that pressure and do things according to the kingdom of God. Excuse me. Kingdom of God principles will do us good. 2 Samuel 22:2. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." 2 Samuel 22:47, "The Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation." Psalm 18:2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation." So we know that the Lord is the rock that we are to stand on. We are to build our house on the rock. Now, what does that mean functionally? What does it mean for you and I to build a house on the rock? Well, it means to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Yeah, but there's a lot of people who have declared Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and then go about living their lives as if Jesus didn't exist, as if God didn't exist. No, it means more than that. It means more than just accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It means to find out how He desires for you to live. It means to walk according to His principles. Ephesians 2:19 says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." That's what God has called us to. We are to be members of the household of God, not strangers of the household of God. And the amount of time some people enter into the church and join in with the family of God, you would think sometimes that they are strangers because, you know, many don't show up too often. But the Word of God tells us that we are not to be strangers, that we are members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Now, this is another aspect that I believe that a lot of the church doesn't recognize, that if we are going to have a foundation, then there must be prophetic utterance. It must be built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And apostles and prophets of today, not only back when the book of Acts was written. You see, there is a foundation that we are to walk on. And that speaks to me of the fact that you and I have to make sure that we are keeping our vision concerning the body of believers that we're connected with, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are connected with, and we are to acknowledge that we love Jesus through the body of Christ. That we love Jesus through loving one another. Joanne was telling me something earlier today that her granddaughter coming into town today, Joanne was saying, "Isn't it great that no matter what we do, no matter how bad we are, no matter if we do things wrong, God still loves us. He still loves it, even us, even when we miss it. And she said, her daughter Alexa said, that's just like in a family. I thought, that's pretty good. That's pretty good revelation from a small child, just like in a family. And that's why when we come together as a family, no matter what happens, no matter what goes wrong, that we still love one another. It's not a matter of whether we agree with actions or not. We can still love one another and disagree with our actions at times. And I believe that we're to help one another to get over some things that we shouldn't do, repent where repentance is needed and so forth. But that whatever anybody does, it should not diminish our love for one another. That's what family is all about. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. That's the family that he's coming for. And to recognize the power and authority that's in the church. Joyce Myers tells this story about three mothers that had young children, and they went out for a night out, and they went to a movie that was really disgraceful, a movie that was totally corruptive, and it was really was had a lot to do with porn and so forth. And the pastor heard that they went to this movie, and apparently, as far as he knew, they enjoyed it. And so he went and spoke to each one of them about it and just told them the effect of going to these kind of movies has not only on them, but on their family. And he really tried to speak some life into them. And I'll tell you what they thought of the church. Every one of them left. You see, there's a day coming when people are going to realize the authority and the protection that people have while walking in the church. And then when God puts people in position to be able to speak to the flock, that it should be heeded to. It should be considered. It should be, I believe that God places individuals in positions to be able to speak life into one another. And it's up to us not to run from it, but to learn from it. And you might say, well, Pastor, what kind of a church, you know, what authority does church have? Well, if you were to read in the book of 1 Corinthians, you would find out that the Apostle Paul, it seemed like they couldn't correct an individual within the church at Corinth, because the Bible says he was actually sleeping with his stepmother. It was perversion, sexual perversion, what was taking place. And the Apostle Paul said these words, kick him out, turn him over to Satan, so that his flesh might be destroyed and his spirit be made whole and except in the day of salvation. In other words, they said, kick him out of the church. Let him know. He can't come be a part of the church and live like that. And if we were to read over there again in 2 Corinthians, it would appear that that man repented and came back into the fold. That's what we're looking for. Sometimes when we say things to individuals to try to help them to come closer to God and try to issue discipline, it's actually you're saying to them, come back into the fold. We want you, we love you, we care about you, and we want you to begin living right for God so that you'll receive the blessing of God. 2018, there's going to be some things that are going to happen to us that's going to challenge us to even give up on church. But those who remain strong will be found under the protection of God. Well, I'm just going to be real vulnerable with you this morning and just... It almost... Well, let me put it this way. The fear of God comes on me when I think about and I look about at individuals throughout the years. Now, we've been functioning for a lot of years, but I look at individuals throughout the years who left the church and I look what happened to their lives. The fear of God comes upon me when I see the disaster. I'm not saying you have to stay in this church, and if you leave this church that disastrous things are going to happen. I will say this, if you leave this church and you don't get hooked up with a body of believers that are loving and caring for you and so forth, then yes, disastrous things can very well happen. I'm not suggesting that we're the only church. I'm not suggesting that by anything. But if you turn your back on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, then yes, you are opening the road for disastrous things to take place in your life. And it's time for the church to set its priorities. in this day, going into 2018. We must set priorities. Because if you won't set your priorities when it comes, especially when it comes to spiritual things, I'll tell you, you'll fall into the priorities of the enemy. You'll fall into the priorities of the devil. In Hosea 6:4, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Because you have forgotten the law of your God. Bill Johnson says this word here, lack of knowledge, actually means a lack of prophetic revelation. You have a lack of prophetic revelation. You don't get prophetic revelation personally, and you don't hear prophetic revelation. You don't receive prophetic revelation. Therefore, he said, "I also will forget your children." You see, I love to preach about the blessing and the grace of God. I love to preach about the anointing of God. I love to preach about how God wants us blessed. I love to preach about how he gives us all things to enjoy. I love to preach about the awesome goodness that he constantly wants to pour out upon us. I love to preach after Deuteronomy, where it talks about that if you'll diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, that all these blessings will overtake you. They'll run you down. I think it's absolutely wonderful, and that is for us. But there's the other side of the coin as well. It says these blessings will come upon you if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. So there's that side of it as well. We never want to get caught so much up in the blessing of God that we think that we take these things lightly, his commands lightly. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you may ask what you will. Well, let's continue to read. We are to be light in a dark world. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines, teachings of demons, speaking lies, in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves. Not God sent teachers, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They will heap up for themselves. There has never been a day where the body of Christ is heaping up so many teachers that they like to hear, that they decide is good. We have something called the internet today that we can go to and we can pick and choose whatever tickles our fancy. It doesn't make any difference whether God's in it or not. It feels good to us. I've noticed in the Bible where the Bible says that there was every person, every man, every woman did as it seemed right in their own eyes. I noticed that always got them in trouble. I noticed over and over again when they did only what was right in their own eyes, they seemed to get away from God. Destruction seemed to come. The enemy seemed to take hold of them. And the Bible says in the last days, he's talking now about people who are so-called in the church who will heap up for themselves teachers. Teachers that will please them. Teachers that will tickle their ears. We have a good example of this in 1 Kings chapter 22. We see Ahab and Jehoshaphat are going against an army. And Jehoshaphat says, "What does God say about this battle? What is it that we're about to go into?" And so Ahab called all the prophets, his prophets, and got them to give a word. He heaped up 400 prophets or so to himself and asked them to give him a word. And so they were all saying, "Go out in the battle. The Lord will give you the enemy into your hand," and so forth. But then after it was all done, Jehoshaphat said, "Isn't there a prophet of God that we could listen to?" He was wise enough to be able to understand that these people were just man-made prophets. And Ahab said, "Yeah, there is one guy, all right. But he always says things mean toward me. I don't want to hear him," basically he was saying. Some people have that attitude today, that they don't want to hear anything that will convict. See, the problem with the body of Christ today is that we don't know the difference between condemnation and conviction. And when the convicting power of God comes, we feel condemned instead of realizing that it's the Holy Spirit trying to get us to walk straight with Him so that we can have an open heaven for the blessing of God to come in our lives. Ahab just wanted this, all his buddies to speak. I remember John Bevere making a statement at one time. John Bevere, wonderful preacher of God. He worked for Benny Hinn for a long time. And then he was pastoring a church. And he was the youth pastor of this church. And there's one kid he was having trouble with. And he went and talked to him. And John said, well, what do you want anyway? And he said to John, he said, well, I just want you to be my friend. I just want you to be my friend. And John looked after him and said, you have plenty of friends. You need a pastor in your life that will be able to speak the life of God into you. You see, we're looking for people who will rub our back a little bit, that we can cozy up to in our sin and still be okay. I'm telling you, 2018 is not going to put up with that. God is saying that we are to walk with Him in purity and holiness before God. You see, there are two sides to walking with God. One is legalism. Church gets into legalism where you can't do anything right. It seems that all the do's and don'ts are there. And that is, you know, we get into legalism and thinking that by doing things just right all the time that we'll have favor with God. And that is legalism and just leads us to bondage. But there's another side and that's being preached today. And that's called, usually referred to as some kind of a hyper-grace. Where it doesn't matter what you do, the grace of God will cover it. And I believe that will lead us into lawlessness. No matter what we do, it doesn't make any difference. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin, past, present, and future. So I can just go and do what I want and live what I want and don't have to feel any kind of conviction. No, that's getting into lawlessness. And the Bible says, because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. Because of lawlessness, because not having any law, you won't listen to nobody, doesn't make any difference what anybody says, you're going to live the way you want to, and that's the end of it. That's called lawlessness. Because of lawlessness, the end times, the love of many will grow cold. And where the Bible says the love of many will grow cold actually refers to not only the love of God, but the love for one another. In the body of believers, the love for one another will begin to grow cold. What are you looking for in 2018? What are the things that are going to draw your attention? What are the things that you are going to gravitate to in 2018? Whatever you set your mind upon, whatever you focus on in 2018, you will draw to yourself. Have you noticed that when you're on the internet at times, especially if you purchase something, you might purchase a particular product and you might be looking for a set of tires, or you might be looking for a new cookbook, or whatever it might be. You spend time, you're looking at just what you want, and after you make your purchase and you go away and you come back to that computer, every time you come back to that computer, you have an advertisement about the things that you just looked at. Every time that you open that, whether it's even an email or whatever electronic device you use, there's an advertisement for the thing that you have been pursuing. That's why at times when there's people who have such a difficult time with porn on the internet, that when they visit these sites, then there's an algorithm set up so that every time they look at it, they'll always have these pop-up things. Because they know you are interested in it, and so whatever they're interested in gravitates to them. So what are you going to show interest in 2018? Because whatever you show interest in, it will come to you like a magnet. It'll become bigger in your life. So you have to choose what you're going to have interest in. You're going to have to make a choice. What you want to draw to yourself. And I believe we need to set ourselves before God to say, God, what is it that you want me to draw toward in 2018? Stand with me, please. I want us to, we're not finished yet, but stand with me. The worship team can come back. Do you believe God loves you? Have you ever asked why? Why does God love you? I listened to someone recently who was a minister of the gospel. Huge mega church in Houston. And he said this, he said, years earlier, I was not secure in my marriage. And I would ask my wife all the time, do you love me? And she'd say, yes, I love you. She said, why do you love me? She said, well, you're a good father. Well, what if I wasn't a good father? Then would you love me? Yeah, well, I'd love you because you're a good provider. Well, what if I wasn't a good provider? And, you know, she said, they would go through this ritual. And the last of it, she'd say, I love you. That's it. I'm going to bed. But he said, one night this happened. They were talking in bed. And she finally said that. And he said, God spoke to him and said, I love you. And he said, but why do you love me? Why do you love me? And this is the response that he got back. He said, because you belong to me. That's why I love you. Because you belong to me. You belong to God. Because you belong to God, he loves you. Not because you're doing everything right. Not because you've learned how to cross all the T's and dot all the I's in your Christian faith. He loves you because you belong to him. And he'll do anything for you if you will reach out to him. If you will live your life according to his design, he is able to demonstrate the love that he has for you. You see, he loves us unconditionally. He loves us because we belong to him. But sometimes we live our lives in such a way that it's very difficult for him to demonstrate his love toward us on a daily basis. Have you ever thought of that? Why you love your children? When you think of it, it's because they belong to you. They belong to you. Your child can be really annoying, can keep you up, all kinds of things they can do to wear you out, but you still love them. You still love them. Why? Because they belong to you. They belong to you. Ela mandó soto le barasite que sende la mamboshite, la soto barasite casanda la manda sondo la baboshite, la barasite. For my love was so great that I could no longer hold to the bosom of my heart in the heavenly realm the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was my desire to send him to the world, to the creation that I have created in order to demonstrate my love, so that those whom I have set my print on could have relationship with their Creator. And even this day, the love of God is being demonstrated through one another in my beloved family of God. For my love flows from one another, and I refuse to allow the devil to hinder the flow of the love of God flowing from one another. For that love which is demonstrated to the world is a demonstration that I am King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I will not allow man to take my glory. But as the love of God is seen flowing through one another as a family, the world will see that I've sent my Son and have installed him as King. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has demonstrated to us that he loves us, that we belong to him. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for your goodness. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We praise you right now, God. And I pray, Father, that going into 2018, that quickly we would experience a demonstration of your love in our personal lives that would overflow and touch those around us. That everyone that we come in contact with know that Jesus Christ is our King. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. Let's just worship him.